Hello, I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to talk about investing. And I know we've talked about investing before, but today's perspective is a little different. I'm bringing you a realtor from New York, Donna Reed. And no, not the Donna Reed from the 50s. This is a whole different one. She's alive today. And she's going to bring to you some perspective on real estate agents getting involved in developing their own investment strategy. And she's also going to tell a personal story that's probably going to make you fall in love with her, and you'll know why she's one of my good friends in real estate. So enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Donna Reed, we're going to talk like we know each other, and the rest of the world is going to start watching this and say, well, I don't know Donna Reed, so I think you should tell everybody who you are and where you're located, even though I already just told them you're in New York, and how long you've been in and around real estate, and then we'll just dig in a little bit.
Okay, great. My name is Donna Reed, and I'm from New York, and I've been in real estate for over 20 years. When I started, it was because of my girls. They were very young. So I needed something else besides doing case management work. That's what I was doing, helping seniors get Medicaid and home care services. So with that said and done, one of my goals were why I did real estate. I had to be home at 3 o'clock. That was like the ultimate goal. It wasn't the money. It wasn't any, it was that goal. So it gave me the opportunity to do that part-time, plus at the same time doing what I do love is doing with the case management side of things. And from there, I just kept on going until I realized, whoa, I can't do that part-time anymore. So I decided to be full-time about 7 years ago. And now the girls didn't need me anymore. Now they're all graduated, having their own life, living their party of life. And I'm doing real estate. And now because I'm becoming more of retirement age, I can't believe it. And because of that, that's why I pivot into a new adventure, I should call it.
So you're going to case manage yourself basically now.
I don't think so. My daughter says to me, oh, Ma, it'll be good when you get into a nursing home. I said, I never have no time to be in a nursing home.
Especially not a New York girl. After the whole last couple of years, I wouldn't go anywhere near a nursing home in New York or anywhere else. But I got my basement set up for my mom. That's where I'm going to case manage her whenever she gives in. I think she'll love it in my basement. It's a wonderful place to be. But I think you mentioned something really important there as we start talking about what you're transitioning into. And that's the undercurrent in real estate is when you've been in it long enough, you experience success because people just know you're in real estate. You're just going to get phone calls. And so you kind of quietly were leading into something that happens in real estate all the time that nobody really acknowledges out loud. And that's when you've been in a long time. Your phone is just going to ring. People just know you're in real estate. You're going to sell some houses, whether you're actively working your butt off to market or not. So by the way, if you're an early career realtor, get to about the 10-year mark and you'll start experiencing what I'm talking about with Donna, your phone will ring. But also boredom starts to set in because anybody can call you and you know what to do. You know the steps to take and you know the market and you know the marketing. But you're no longer super challenged like you were in those early days when you had to get everything done by 3 o'clock to take care of the girls. And now you know all that thing. And so it becomes a moment of, do I pivot? Do I not pivot? What would be interesting is the most important question because you and I are both over the halfway mark if the averages are right. And you, when you're over the halfway mark, you're like, I don't want to be bored. And so you've made a big shift in what you're doing with your real estate. So I want you to talk about that a little bit. And also for anybody that's watching and listening, I want you to really pay attention because we're going to talk in a space here that not everybody speaks into. And it's not just what Donna's doing, but it's the how Donna landed there. So if you're starting to identify with this, oh my gosh, they're talking my language, now is when you should start to hit the comments so you can find your community. So Donna, tell them where the shift looks like, how you decided that it was time to do something different. Give us a little more because I think what you're doing is fantastic.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Lee. Well, what happened is that for me, I love real estate, and I'll be totally honest with you. I didn't even think about retirement. I didn't even think about anything else. I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it until that age start turning around. I'm like, oh boy, what am I going to do when I reach the big age? So after that, I was like sitting down thinking to myself, I wanted to be able to do something else. So what I did is that I realized that I needed to create a passive income, something that keeps coming in that I'm not even thinking about. And it's going to accommodate one, my lifestyle, but also take care of the foundation that I want to build and also help others along the way. So with that, I decided that for me, how it looked was getting into multifamily, an asset that I could still yet love the real estate side of things and helping people with rentals, helping people have that space that they could live and also give back to the tenants. And that was just a part of my life. So my thing was to, one, get that pivot, but not only that, but create that passive income that would always be able to generate. And I found that a lot of realtors are not that way. They don't have a passive income coming in. Without the commission, they're like gone. So I was like, so if I'm feeling the way that I need to retire, who else out there that needs to retire? So I'm like, let's get together. Let's create a community. I've also done that on my Facebook. I've done on different groups and things like that. Realized that, wow, there are so many realtors out there that are looking to do something, but they don't know what to do. And I'm finding out that a lot of realtors don't invest in real estate. And I'm like, wow, why not? I mean, I have passive income already, but I don't have enough to retire. That's why I'm like full force, because I never thought about it, but I did little at the time. But now I'm looking at, I'm like, man, my heart is really sad out there, Lee, that we don't have that. The brokerage is not talking about it. No one else is talking about how is realtors coming off that treadmill? How are we really coming off the treadmill? And it just let me wonder and feel very sad for us, because it is a career that everyone may love or may not, whatever it is. But where do you stop? When do you stop?
Well, they don't. I mean, and if you look at how our business is structured and has been for decades, a brokerage is disincentivized from telling an agent to go get passive income because they want them to go crush one more commission and just go keep absolutely chasing it every single day. And then we also have to realize the size of our community. It's so fragmented. I mean, there's just so many agents out there and they all have a different business model type, and it's hard to reach them anymore because they don't read their emails and they don't come to classes unless they have to. And at the National Association of Realtors, our national president in 2017 was Bill Brown from Oakland, California. And Bill had that same idea that you had of, holy smokes, these realtors aren't saving for retirement. They don't have a pathway. And so he created an NAR program called Financial Wellness, but we only have this many of the realtors in the population that have information about it because they don't read their emails from NAR and they're not dialed in as volunteers. And so we only are touching a portion of the population. So you're able to touch a whole different population because in New York, there's not a heavy MLS usage. You don't have realtors that are wildly dialed in. They're very lone wolf, but they absolutely need to hear from you. And then you've spent so many years in the brokerage side, there's agents that won't hear this message from anybody else. A moment for each of us as practicing business people, when you realize your voice hits different people than somebody else's voice does. And then you also mentioned something kind of in passing that I've talked to a lot of multifamily people, because as you know, I love multifamily too. I'm a B and C class person. I like the cheap stuff because I can provide affordable rentals in my market. I don't need to do A class fancy stuff for executives. They have plenty of options. But you made a comment there about taking care of tenants. And that's something we don't frequently hear about when we're talking about the passive income multifamily space. We often hear people talk about only the housing provider side, the income side, and we don't think about who we're providing for in the way of options. So can you lean into that for just a minute and tell us what got your heart thinking there, what experience that was, or that just generally how Donna Reed is wired?
I think when it comes down to taking care of the tenants, what's going to happen is that I always have this philosophy, help others and no matter what, it's going to come back to you. So when it comes to helping the tenants live a better life in the multifamily space, what's going to happen, I found out, is that they're going to stay there a longer. They're there. You're going to get more equity. Your money's going to last longer. The more money you spend is on when there's vacancy. You have to update it. You have to do this. That's where you waste more money. And if we look at the tenants and their duration of staying in a unit and make it be comfortable for them, they're not going to move. I know people that have had tenant situation and they live in the property for what, 20 years, whatever, is because they are comfortable with that. You're finding the next generation is going to look, I found that they are going to look more for the rentals. Why? In New York, I'm finding a lot of teenagers and not teenagers, but more millennials, they are looking at, why should I buy a house? I want to probably do renting for a while. So when they rent for a while, what happened is that they use their money now to put it back into investment properties instead of a full home. So they're just looking at it a little different. But no matter what, being there for the tenants in the long run is going to pay off. And when we come to that terms, we'll make it a little bit more comfortable for them. So we're not having a lot of turnaround, but yet cater to them. Yeah.
Well, and talking about that side of it, so protecting the longevity of a tenant and reduces turnover, reduces wear and tear. I mean, the numbers go along with that mindset of when they say happy wife, happy life, and happy tenants, happy investment.
Absolutely.
That, you start to bring away one of the reasons many real estate pros don't get into this, which is their fear of bad tenants, and they don't know what to do because they've never dealt with it. And so they've got all these built up excuses for why they should never touch this, that you're already breaking down. So when you're talking to real estate agents about building passive income through investing, how do you break down their fear factor? Because maybe you've never owned a rental, or they watched that. I've probably mentioned it in more episodes than I can even shake a stick at, but do you remember that movie from the 80s, Pacific Heights, where Michael Keaton?
Oh my gosh. And that, funny you say that. When I did a poll and a survey, you know how many realtors say, hell no, I'm not going to own any. I don't want to own any rentals.
Do you remember that scene where the roaches came streaming out the door? And I think that's why they're not investing. So
that's why a lot of realtors are not. They know the scoop, but they don't have time to invest. But what I'm finding out too, Lee, is that when I was sick, right, with breast cancer, at that time, I had a little bit of income coming in. But I'm finding out these realtors, when some of them get very sick like that, no commission, no income, no passive income, nothing. So my heart is going out to those people too. And I know that it's been said, realtors don't make that much money. I got it. But at some point we have to come to terms with something. We can't just keep going on and on like this, right?
Oh my gosh, you're totally landing on the other thing nobody talks about, which is that if a realtor is out of the ability to work, broke a leg, got cancer, going through chemo, maybe they're by themselves. They don't have a spouse to support. Maybe their kids aren't able to help out. They don't have a pension from a corporate job. They probably don't have a short-term disability plan, which I wish more realtors carried good insurance policies, but they don't. So they don't have any safety net at all. And this can provide that. It's absolutely doable. That's the thing I want y'all to start listening to with Donna. It's absolutely doable to build this. You don't have to have a bazillion dollars behind you. You don't have to be a multimillionaire. So Donna, what do you tell that agent who says, okay, I'm ready to take my first steps, but I don't have a lot of money and I don't have the expertise. What do I do? What's the first place you take them?
Well, first of all, I have to sit down and find out what are their goals. Let's get a number together. Okay, what's your freedom financial number looks like for you to say that I want to retire? So we sit down and analyze that with them. And once we get to that number, then we're going to figure out what tool is going to get you there. Is it going to be a duplex fourplex, or is it going to be 20 or 100 units? When that is done, then we're able to take them through step by step in order how to acquire it. So it is doable, just like you said, but it's starting. That's where we come off. But getting that number, that's the most important thing that we want to work with, because we don't want to short live ourselves. So we want to make sure that is comfortable for them.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now. And it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link,
www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
All right. So you're dealing with people who, lovingly, I'll say this, they don't have a budget or a P&L. They are scraping it together and making it up new almost every single month. And if you're in real estate and that hurts your feelings, it's probably because it's true. And we are so good with other people's money, but with our own, we have this blinder situation of la, 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 if I don't look, it's not real. So how do you teach somebody to put together a piece so they can find that financial number? Because how many of them that you're meeting with know their numbers cold versus the ones that are guessing?
Right. It's not so much that, it's that we sit down and have to have a plan. What are the expenses? What are the incomes? How can we get to the income to make sure it's more than the expenses, right? The thing about it is that you have your commission. And when you have your commission, it's not going to go all in one pot. You have to take out a certain percentage, break it all down, the taxes. No one want to talk about that one. But then all the expenses and take out a little bit at a time. And over a time, that compound interest, if you figure it out, if you put 100, 50, and when you do get a big deal, do put some away. It's not about taking that new cruise or that new vacation that you thought about. It's about creating that future that you could be able to have. Definitely you could have a vacation, but how many vacations can you have? So the point of it all is that create that expense, income, and what do you need at the end result? And when you get your commission, you're going to put away a little at a time in order to achieve that, invest that, and then get back the returns on there.
I love that. So like a little Christmas club account for your future.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about those. Yeah.
So I'm my age, but you know what it was. So you showed your age too. If they've got this investment account, now where do they go buy? So let's say that this realtor has managed to stockpile $20,000 and they say, all right, Donna, I want to put this to work. How do you help them figure out the next steps? Because the next steps can be scary. Because as we know, if you're selling real estate every day, primarily realtors work with single family, or maybe they duplex, triplex, quad, but mostly it's single family residential. So they know one side really cold. And if they're going to go spend 20 grand, getting started can be hard. So how do you take them that next space? And where are you buying right now?
Well, funny you should say where I'm buying. But what happened is that, yeah, a lot of people look at 100 units and say, oh my God, I can never afford that. It's not one person buying that. It's a group of people that come together in order to put their funds together to purchase that. So once a deal comes on plate with the operator that I've been working with extensive amount of time and they've exited that particular deal for a while, now you look at getting all the people together, all the money together, create a fund or a syndication. And then what you want to do is that present the deal to them to see if that is something they feel comfortable with. Are they going to be an LP, a limited partner on that deal? Once they are and they feel comfortable with the deal, once we explain the process, first putting your money in, looking at the PPM, all of that, once we look at that, they they have to feel comfortable with the deal. And then once we explain it to them, they could invest. It's basically about the return of what they're going to get back and they feel comfortable with. Once we do all that, then we want to make sure that we take it from ABC and the results. But also, I want to make sure when they invest that they know that it's going to be there for a while. It's not a money that you're going to put in and then you said, oh, you know what? Let me get it back next month or next year. No, it's going to stack up because we have to have an exit plan, 3 years, 5 years. Some deals may only take 2 years. But then and again, they have to feel comfortable with the process first of making sure that they are okay with the exit strategy or maybe a 5 years plan.
And by the way, guys, I have several episodes about syndications that are linked over here so you can go learn about that. And let's go back to the ones you're working in here. So syndication is really just a bunch of people working together to buy a property. Just sounds bigger than it is. So how do you evaluate the operator so that first-time investor who's got their little $20,000 nugget all saved up and they're going to trust Donna Reed with it? How do you evaluate the property and the operator to know it's safe as it can be, knowing that there is always risk involved investing in anything and nobody has any guarantees? Look at the last 3 years of this weird COVID market, for example, for if you want to know why you can't expect anything. So how do you investigate them? And you've got obviously mom's intuition and you're living in a big city. So give them a little bit of insight. How do you get the good gut feeling?
Well, I wish it was more about the gut feeling. It isn't. First of all, I have to get the buy box. We're looking in North Carolina. We're also looking in Atlanta and also anything Midwest as well. But before we proceed or go forward, we want to know that the operator say what they say and do what they do. One, right? Two, have they exited a plan? Have they did anything that creates something to say, oh, you know what? We've done it before, or they went through a hardship, maybe a building, half of it was burned. How did they proceed? How did they help the tenant out of that? Things like that. What was their procedures? Did they have any hardship? How did they overcome that? So when you're looking at an operator, it's not one person, you're looking at a team. So with that team, you want to make sure that team is ethical and also carry the values that you have. That is so important. And for me, I looked at so many deals, it's countless, but you want to make sure that once that is stacked up, once the value, two, that they have a track record, and three, also they have an exit plan. Sometimes we look at it that not only one exit, but around 5 to 10 exit, they've exited on a particular asset. So we look at all of those in order before we decide to partner up with someone.
Okay, so of all the operators I've ever talked to in all the other episodes I've done on syndication, you are the very first one who says you ask somebody about what hardships they've encountered and how they came through it and what a brilliant way to evaluate. I mean, you think about it, it's the same thing in real estate. Everybody wants to talk about, I'm number one, I'm great. We never talk about, well, this one time I had to deal with X, Y, and Z, and the things that are really hard are what show you somebody's ethics, and they show you their character and their ability to be resilient. And if you're an investor, you kind of need somebody who's not going to just give up and run away, because there's plenty of those people in the world. So I think that's brilliant. Frankly, we should probably all ask that of people we want to be our mentors and people who are mentees and our spouses and our kids and every great. That's totally going to be my super conversation tonight. So thanks, Henry.
You're so right. But that is important. Absolutely. Because we all go through hardship. It's just how we're going to handle it.
Okay. So then I want to ask you, what would you say is the hardship that you encountered in life that changed everything for you? And how did you get through it?
Oh my gosh. I hope I don't cry.
I'll cry with you because nobody the rule. I'm a Dolly Parton devotee in that way.
I think one of the hard thing that I went through was having cancer and working two jobs and taking care of the kids. That was one of my hardship. And how I overcame that is that I looked at the end results. It was about being there for the girls. And it was the weirdest time because they both graduated that same year. So funny. One graduated from junior high and the other was going to high school. She was going to be a doctor. So she was in a 7-year program. So I had to get her all prepared and get the other one prepared while battling and them taking care of me. And how I overcame that, I didn't look at the big picture. I took it one day at a time. What was today? Today I have to take chemo, or my white cells are not up, so they have to give me a shot. So I have to call somebody to get me help, to give the shot to me that's nearby. And I didn't look at the next day. I looked at all my doctors, but I only looked at one that would give me the information. So sometimes when you're going through, you're looking at, oh my God, what's happening? I want to look at, how am I going to get over all this? And it's sometimes it's not looking at the big picture, but looking at the small picture and how you're going to overcome day by day and one by one. And that really pivot and helped me. I had operations from 2012 to 2019 in order to do everything. But it wasn't that. It was more or less that you have to come out. It wasn't, oh, I'm me or not. No. You have to come out of this. So with that said and done, it helped me and it propelled me to even fight harder because I know what I needed to do in the end result.
And what I love about you, or one of the things, is how you use social media as a way to use your struggles to encourage other people. You were encouraging other people the whole way through all of this by putting your faith on full display and by sharing all your little victories. And it doesn't go unnoticed, because when you're able to find the small victories and those small day by days, and then bring somebody else into that small space, you never even see your own impact. It's amazing. And that's where I think hardships, well, the Bible says we're going to be refined by fire. And this is a refining process. It's not a bad thing. It's just, but hard things aren't necessarily bad. And what you just described is how you're bringing other people into investment too. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but quit looking at 100 units and panicking. Mm-hmm. Look at one step, put $50 in an account. That's today. It's like the perfect overlay, and you didn't even do it on purpose. So we'll just call that a God moment. But you're taking your life and showing other people a pathway. Your hardship is a gift, my sister. I love that.
It's funny because I never even thought about it. Like I said, I never looked at the big picture. I'm looking at one day at a time and how I'm going to do it. Having the support that helped me through it was phenomenal. The family that was there, I had the breast cancer correlation. They were there with me. The most important one time they called me, say, Donna, do you want a Christmas tree? I said, yeah, I have one in the attic, but I can't reach it because I was in so much pain. They bought one, decorated everything. And it's not what you say is what you do when somebody's going through that. And I didn't even think much about the process. I was just taking it one day at a time to get to the end result because they needed me. So I know there's a lot of people out there going through especially hardship right now, and they're sick and they're like, oh my gosh, I've had Alzheimer's, or I can't retire. I don't have any money, or I'm so sick. I have a cancer, whatever it is out there. I just want to encourage them. Take it one step at a time and just start investing. Do something. Start something. And you know what? In the end, you'll be glad you did.
Oh, so good.
Thanks.
Throw it into a whole different space that I think y'all listening and watching should be feeling a little dusty and encouraged at the same time. So hit the comments for us. Donna, if somebody wants to talk to you about how they can get started on this pathway, how can they take their own small steps and learn from Reed Elite Capital? What's the best way for them to reach out to you and become a part of your world?
Two things. They could just, I'm on the internet, Reed Elite Capital, or it's Donna Sells NY. So anything I could do for anyone. One of the things I find out in life is that you forget you and you remember others and help others, no matter what, I don't know what it is, it'll come back around for you.
That's the spiritual gift of encouragement is what that is.
Yeah, if I can.
Not if I can, when you do.
Yes, when I can. Yes, when I do. Absolutely right.
Flip that around. Okay, friends, now you know why I love her. So go follow her online. Her social game is strong and it is not canned. And you should absolutely reach out to Donna and figure out how you can be encouraged on this journey, because you do not have to be scared of investing or passive income. It's not too big. It's not unachievable. it's small steps, but that adds up. So Donna, thank you so much for coming on the show and getting a little bit personal with us, which I love. And
thank you. Oh my God, this has been amazing. Thank you for your platform. And I'm telling you guys, you got to follow her. I mean, like, you're doing just great things over there. And I appreciate that because you are our voice when it comes out there. And we don't find that often. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank you again.
Well, we'll just both use our voices and help other people find their voices too. And then everything can scale. And then our daughters can live a bigger life than we got to live.
Yeah, right.
Sons too. They're important too, but we happen to talk about the girls today, so it's all good. Okay, friends, all of Donna's information is in the show notes for this episode. Go give her a follow and a like. Leave a happy comment here. Most importantly, hit the bell, hit subscribe, like this episode, and that way you won't miss a conversation over here on Crazy Shit.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.